Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your presence, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may be here to open our minds, our hearts, enabling us to hear, to understand, to receive everything that you have done for us, you have prepared for us. We give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. For, Lord, we know that all good things that come from you, Lord, are available to us as we understand and as we are able to receive them, Lord. So quicken us, quicken our minds and our hearts, so that we may be able to hear your word, Lord, and receive from you whatever you have in store for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to just mention a couple of things about, generally, I don't talk too much about the calendar and the celebration things. But I just want to make some points here concerning celebrations in general. Okay. God is a God of order. We have to understand that God is super organized, if you can look at it in terms of the way we think. Okay. But he just doesn't think the way we do. And often we just don't understand God at all. And all the time that we try to understand him, actually we mess up things more. Because there is no way for us to be able to understand the things that he does and how he does them. We look around the world and look like it is chaos. But nothing is chaos. Nothing is not planned. Nothing is out of control. You say, how can you say that? Well, because God is in control. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows every hair on your head, if you have any. All right? So he knows everything. He knows all the details about all the times for everybody and everything. And he has optimized the situation in our favor. But we had to understand it, and we had to cooperate with him. See, it's just not automatic. He's not controlling things. He just set up the rules of the game. And sometimes, maybe much more often than we can ever imagine, actually, he exercises executive authority to actually make things happen the right way. And we can see it very clearly in the Bible. Okay, throughout all the history, New Testament, Old Testament, there are specific times in which God definitely did something and he actually made something happen by intervention. Okay? Most of the time he doesn't need to do anything because things happen naturally because of the rules that he established. You go a certain way, and you get the result that those rules brings about. But in some cases, he just has executive authority to actually make a decision, okay, to make some things happen. And we can see that happening very clearly when he created Adam and Eve, when he created things. It wasn't just chance, it wasn't just rules. You know, the rules were established then. And he established all the rules from the very beginning, before having even made anything. So we can't grasp, we cannot wrap our thinking and our brain around something like that. There is no way. Even just trying to do it with our logic and our understanding is going to produce the wrong results. Because you cannot grasp it, and if you try to do it that way, you're going to fail. And there is only one way to be able to understand and to receive things from God. And it's not by logic. It's not by even observation. Because it's limited to your senses. And your senses are nothing else but flesh. That's the way you connect with the physical world, through your senses. Well, God doesn't work only on the physical work. He works also in the spiritual work. Actually, he always operates on both sides. We do too, without realizing it, but our condition, you know, at the moment is limited. And so we just don't see, don't perceive what's going on. That's why it appears to be confusion. You know, when you don't know why things happen, is because you don't have enough information, but everything is planned. And it's planned in the best possible way because he knows what he's doing. We don't know what we are doing. And we have to understand that and to make a connection with that reality. Because if we try to do it any other way, we are wasting our time. And number two, we actually are going to go in the wrong direction. Okay? We are going to come to the wrong conclusions. Okay? So I said, you know, there are times in which it was evident God's executive, you know, order, command, or intervention. You know, Adam's birth and Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth is one of the times in which it was evident. It's evident. Please. All right. Now. I'm going to cast it out. All right. Please. You're interfering. All right. So, are you listening to what I'm saying here? The important thing to understand that we have to connect at this level. Otherwise, we come to the wrong conclusions. You know, I was reading some material just this week. You know, it was the title of a university course in theology. And the title was How Jesus Became God. It was complete. I mean, you know, you can see that these people don't even read the Bible. Because the title shouldn't have been How Jesus Became God, How God Became Man. So that, and we cannot understand that. That's the last thing that we can understand. Okay, that is completely out of range for us to understand it. And we have to connect with him according to his direction, not according to our thinking, not according to our ideas. Are you following what I'm saying? So when we go in, we know we need to have the right source of information to be able to come to the right conclusion. And that source of information is the Bible. Okay? The Bible is what gives us the information that, you know, provide enough background. Doesn't give us everything. And that's a problem. Because we cannot handle everything. We can handle just that little bit that our capacity or mental capacity can handle for the time being. Are you following what I'm saying? So we are limited. And every time that we are trying to come up with, you know, understanding that we cannot have, what we are doing is limiting God. That's what Israel, the children of Israel, did all the time when they were in the desert. And it says, you know, very clearly that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they boxed them in their mentality, in their idea. Are you following me? So we have to be careful not to do that, because what actually we are doing is cutting ourselves up from the things that God wants to do with us. What we have to do is to open up to the Spirit of God and start operating in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Okay, this is a topic I've been covering up for a while, okay, and this is a completely different way of doing things that is natural for us as people that are grown up and trained to think according to the senses that they, and learning from the senses that they connect with the world around. There is a world that we do not connect generally with, and it's limited to us for the time being, that we had to learn to perceive. That is the change that took place. And up to Jesus' coming, nobody, and I'm saying nobody, could really do it this way that he did it. Okay? He was completely, okay, free to do that in the right way. Jesus had the understanding. Jesus had the freedom to operate in the Spirit. In way, you know, he was, you know, filled with the Spirit completely. Are you following me? Okay. So the idea is that he would be able to, okay, do things that we may find a bit difficult today. But he made it possible for us. By coming, because that was the only way, and this is, was God's design. Nobody could come up with such an idea. Okay? For God to come, become man, and die like man so that he could carry out, you know, the weight and the problem. This is nothing else than a manifestation that the love that God has for us to take our place for the things that we messed up so that he would pay for us instead of us paying for them. And the only thing that we had to be do is connect with them, recognize our mistakes, and submit ourselves to him so that he could start directing us through the spiritual dimension. That's one of the problems that come up. Because we don't like, by nature, to operate in that dimension. Because it's been blocked out. And even at the beginning, Adam didn't quite do it the proper way because, you know, it just was more influenced by the physical things that he saw than the things that God has said. Okay, nothing is changed in a certain way. There are the same thing happening today, you know, the same type of relationship that God expects us to have was the relationship that already was established from the beginning, and he wants it to make it better and better, and that Jesus showed us how to actually do that. And that was, is the way it is, you know, the Word became flesh. So the Word, God's thoughts, God's ideas, the Logos, okay, he incorporated, and when he came as a baby, he wasn't any different from all the other babies, only didn't have the nature of sin that was as a son of Adam, because he wasn't a son of Adam. But you see, that was a breaking of the rules. That was a, you know, executive intervention of God, that he came in and says, wait a minute, you know, a man cannot do it, you know, cannot save himself, so I had to come myself and fix it and take his place. Okay, and out of love, he was willing to diminish himself to the level of a man, the same way Saint Philippians, you know, to actually give up the prerogative that he had before, to embrace our condition and to show us what we had to do to become operating in the way God wanted, to be able to connect with him the way God wanted to do, have the relationship that always God wanted to have with us. Okay? That is what makes all the difference. Our relationship with God is not even our theology. You know, sometimes, You know, just because we have some even right ideas, but because we are, you know, legalistic and narrow-minded, we implement them the wrong way and it doesn't work. And instead of helping us produce problem, produces religion. See, that is the way to implement even the right ideas that God has, the right rules that God has in a fleshy way, and you are going to get in trouble. Because it's not reflecting what has to happen in the spiritual dimension. It's in the spirit. See, what Jesus said in John 4, 24. You know, the God, you know, has to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That's the only way to connect with him. And it's not the way it was done in the past. And we had to learn to do that. And when we're talking about worship, involve, you know, any our relationship, our love relationship, our connection with him is has to do everything in the same way. You know, is happening, has to happen at this, that level. With our spirit, not just with our body, not just with our lips, not just with our ceremonies. Okay. And it was pretty clear that the ceremonies, the physical rules, the things according to the Old Testament weren't working, and Jesus had to come to really produce the changes that they were, you know, up to that time. Supposedly, they should have connected with those symbols and those expression of the law in physical terms to be able to understand spiritual truth, but didn't happen. Number two, one, you know, didn't happen in general. I mean, in some cases happen. See, nothing is changed in the relationship that we have with God, Old Testament and New Testament. It's just the exterior part. It's just the physical part that is changed. Okay. There are some internal parts that are actually, okay, drastically changed, because he changed all the rules of the game. Okay? He transferred everything from the physical to the spiritual. Okay, he showed us that really to connect with God, we had to do it with our heart and in truth. And doesn't matter what's going on in the physical, because when our heart is in the right place, the physical is going to line up with it. Okay? The spiritual part is predominant as overrule the physical. This is why, you know, even physical healing doesn't happen because there is physical healing taking place, but because the spiritual healing takes place first, so that there is a manifestation in the world, physical world, and there is, and automatically the physical react the way is imposed by the spiritual rules that are applying in those situations. Are you following what I'm saying? See, you know, we can see that, you know, that there is walking in the Spirit, okay, is not just something new to the New Testament. Okay, they walk by faith even in the Old Testament. Now, in Hebrew chapter 12, there says, you know, verse 1, you know, since we have surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, you know, and it talks to all those people. Yeah, but, you know, the cloud wasn't so great. We are talking about thousands of years, and just a list of few people there that because of their attitude, because of their, you know, disposition, because of their openness to the Spirit of God, they listened anyway. Even if they were not born again. Even if they were not being regenerated by the power of God. Why? Because they opened up to the Word. And the Word guided them, you know, and they acted according to faith instead of according to the circumstances they believed. And generally, they went completely against the circumstances they were in to break through. So that there was a spiritual manifestation even in the physical. Okay? So that is a big difference that, you know, Jesus introduced, because he changed, okay, our perception, our perspective. And he made it clear. There wasn't not according to the physical things that we had to operate, but we had to operate according to his spirit. And he showed it to us, and he did it himself, you know, by going to the Word and allowing the Word to form and to construct his way of thinking and his way of acting. So that he was controlled by the Word. He became the Word made flesh. Okay? So, actually, you know, you can almost say that the Word, the flesh, became Word. Because it was affected by the Word, so that, you know, operated and acted and manifested things that were according to the spiritual laws instead of the physical, only physical laws. Are you reading what I'm saying? So this is important to understand. You know, there is that the basic change that put us in a completely different position than the Old Testament. Okay, we have an example. We have an explanation that before wasn't available to them. All the things that they were written in the Old Testament were according to symbols or shades or types, but weren't the real things. So they had to be all interpreted. When you interpret symbol and shade and so on, you can do many different things, okay, and come to different conclusions. And sometimes it can be very confusing because the type, the symbols, do not cover the whole thing, the whole truth. Okay? They always are a projection or a reflection of the truth as like a shadow of the real thing. So if they don't show the whole thing, there is all the part that you are missing that you had to make up in some way or another. When instead Jesus didn't talk in shadow and symbol, and you know, also not Jesus, but Paul and all the New Testament letters, you know, they spoke clearly about spiritual things so that we can connect to them, not in a symbolic way anymore, but in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit came so that we can make that connection and we start understanding spiritual things, you know, through spiritual information instead of just symbolic law. Okay? So that makes all the difference. We can be in advantage. We can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit not just coming on us in special cases. You know, the Old Testament, only kings, priests, and prophets had really more of a relationship with the Holy Spirit because they worked on that all the time. But everybody else didn't, and they were just resistant to that kind of connection. Even when God confronted them and wanted to connect with them, said, no, no, Moses, you do it because you know, this is too scary. See, that wasn't really, that's not what God wants. God wants us to be open. You know, you can see many spiritual experiences people, when they have, they get scared. You know, even when Jesus was born, you remember what happened. You know, the angels appeared to the shepherd. They were afraid. I mean, it was something that they couldn't grasp, they couldn't connect with, you know, until it says, you know, just fear not. Great things are happening here. You know, but the idea is that they could not understand, they could not apply it, and they didn't know what to do with them as until they were told. See, that's another indication of how much God wants to connect with us. And, you know, evidently, where were all the religious leaders at the time? I mean, they had all the prophecies talking about the coming of the Messiah. And they were indicating even the time and everything else. So there was lots of information, but they didn't use any information. The only people that got it, they was open enough, because weren't caught up by their agenda or their thing. They were just shepherds, just looking after their sheep in the field, looking maybe at the sky and wondering, you know, how wonderful it was. Okay. I must say, I'm come to the conclusion, partly they were just, that's why they got it. Because they weren't just so caught up in their scheme, in their ideas, in their job, in their business, in whatever they were. Okay? And so they were open enough to hear what's going on, and God reached out to them. Because he knows what's happening with us all the time. He can, you know, we don't need to tell him. He knows that. Okay? When Moses, you know, decided to go and see the burning bush, you know, and they say, oh, okay, he comes. So he called him by name. That's what, God responds to our position, our attitude, what we do, the way we want to connect with him. And he can see through all the religious stuff that we can put up just to look pious and good. Okay. We can fool him. We can fool ourselves. Okay, but when it comes to the truth, he is the truth. And he communicates with us in the truth, showing us the things that we need to understand. You know, and really that's the basis that he wants, that's the way he wants us to connect with him. You know, it's not certain, you know, in the Old Testament, they had lots of festivals and different ceremony or ordinances and stuff like that. After Jesus, with the New Testament, where had it gone? Why? Actually, you know, all these things were nothing else than an indication or a symbolic representation of what was going to happen with him, with Jesus. But they were not necessary anymore. We don't need to go and try to dig up in the Old Testament ideas, because we have already the real thing. And they were just all eliminated. Now we can do a study, a Bible study about that, but that is just a mental exercise to try to figure out things. You know, how actually God planned things from the very beginning. See, this is the way we see the way God operates. God see the end from the beginning. That's the way he plans things. You know, to be able to do that, it means, you know, he knows the way things are going to happen. Okay? So I'm not reading scriptures, I'm quoting scriptures, you know, because there is no time to do, what I want to cover. All right? So I had to speed it up. But the idea is that, God wants to plan things, organize things, you know, he showed before through all the prophecies on the Old Testament, you know, how he knows everything that is going to happen. But don't try to do that mistake of taking those things and trying to dig up and try to find out things about things that you don't need to, because they're a waste of time. See, one of the mistakes, you know, people think that by being legalistic, and God, you know, in a way, God is really legalistic, because he goes, you know, he established everything with very clear rules, but his legalism is not what is not. It's not the fleshy, it's not the religious legalism, it's not the physical legalism. It goes according to the things that are right spiritually. So that when we try to do that, the same thing in the physical, we end up being religious and, you know, picking up stuff that is completely irrelevant. Why am I saying that? Well, because that happens all the time, even to believers. I mean, there is, you know, you can have even good doctrine and make a religion of it. Okay? And that happens all the time. You know, how many people that, you know, believe the gospel, believe all the things, believe, you know, lots of their good ideas. And they're really sticky about the fact, you know, oh, well, we, you know, we don't believe worshiping days and things. We don't need to celebrate. It's a bad thing to celebrate Christmas. Where did they get that? On which Bible that's ever said? This is their mentality. They judge according to the physical. Well, you know, Jesus wasn't born the 25th of December. So what? That's the bottom line. You are not, you see, the idea is what happens in the spirit. Are you worshiping God and His goodness and His mercy and His big sacrifice that He came to give Himself to die for us? Remembering that doesn't matter which day. Okay? Instead of being sticky about physical things that mean nothing before God, because they're not spirit and truth, are just physical things. I can show you many other situations of that type. I mean, you know, people are picky about everything. I mean, you have the Christmas tree. Oh, but this is a pagan thing. Well, Paul ate meat given to idols, and he wasn't feeling guilty about it. Can you read the Bible and see why? Because the issue wasn't that. He wasn't worshiping the idols. He was just eating meat. Hello. See, we can give power to things that they have no power because they're simply physical and they're just, you know, I mean, I can make you a list of things how people get so stuck up with the religious idea and make up a big story that the Bible very clearly say, do not do. I could read scriptures about that. Okay? But because they are fixated. Oh, you know, I mean, you don't baptize people in the name of the Father and so on. Yeah, if it's not on Jesus' name, it's not good. I like to just get some people upset. Oh, I'm not another thing. I mean, are you washing on Sunday? But you don't know the Sunday. You know, this Sunday is coming from a sun, you know, the God's idol of the sun. What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? Every day, including Saturday, which is Saturn. So, you know, that you can, oh, but I don't call it Saturn. You know, Saturday, I'm calling it Sabbath. Big deal. It's not what you call. It's what you worship. It's what you connect in the spirit that counts. You know, to be sticky like that, the only thing it does is block your ability to connect with God because you are in the physical and you are operating the same way as people did in the Old Testament. I don't see people. You know, Jesus ran into problems all the time because he wasn't following the law the way the Pharisees said he should. He didn't wash his hand. Oh boy, you know, he's going to get sick. Or today some people will say that, but you know, that wasn't the issue. That was, it was unclean. You know, he was healing people on the Sabbath. That's the day of rest. I mean, just read the Bible and see the way Jesus handled those situations. And that was reinforced. It wasn't just a stop there. You know, he was very clear about the things he was saying, but he was reinforcing that very clearly later on with the teaching of Paul and Peter and all the others. And, you know, and that's important to understand. That's important that we had to, you know, loosen up about some perspective, you know, being rigid about physical things shows that we do not understand spiritual things. See, actually, Christmas is a really great time to talk to people and to minister about the love of God. It doesn't matter which day. You can, have Christmas in October or August. I couldn't care less. The thing is, everybody does it, and so it's a good time to use to minister to people and to share the gospel. Okay, so, yeah, we don't go by the physical. They are not important, but we can use the physical to reach out people that otherwise aren't there. I mean, you know, don't start to talk about advanced spiritual understanding with children. They are children. And Jesus said, unless you are like a child, like on this child, you know, you cannot even enter the kingdom. So, you know, and you can make that a religious idea. Oh, you know, you have to be gullible and easily influenced and everything else to really enter the kingdom. And that's not what Jesus was telling. He was saying that unless you are willing to believe and you are open to receive, you're not going to get anywhere. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Okay, we can't use, so it doesn't matter the trees, doesn't matter, we use it. What is your intention? What is your spiritual position? Are you worshiping Christmas as a way to, you know, be materialistic, spend lots of money buying stuff and making kids spoiled, or using it to teach them about what Jesus did? Well, that's the difference. Are you just trying to, pick up and drink and get drunk and do other things like the world do? Or are you just instead ministering the love of God to somebody that needs it? See, that's the difference. That's what makes a difference in the things. It's what's going on inside you that is actually reflected on what you're actually doing. Are you with me? See, that one makes a difference. See, this is what we can become. And, it's all about we walk not by sight, but by faith. Okay, by spiritual principle, understanding spiritual principle in the right way. Not being legalistic. I showed the negative consequences of doing that. Okay. Somebody, for example, they said, the Old Testament, God was talking about Sabbath. It was the day in which we, I like to bring up some of these things because these are things that come up all the time, and there are lots of people that are sucked in by because they have no spiritual understanding, and they're falling, by these ideas, and they got into religion and stuck there because they cannot grow spiritually that way. Okay. Well, so this person will say, you had to worship on Sunday, on Saturday, not Sunday, because that was the day in which God established things. Well, first of all, that was something that you had to see the way implemented because Jesus didn't respect Saturday. Okay. So if Jesus didn't do it, I should be imitating him. All right, but let's take a step further. So if somebody feels and does end up worshiping only on Saturday because otherwise he is not accepted by God, what is salvation depends is doing something physical instead of doing having the right attitude. His salvation doesn't come by faith in Jesus, but come by doing something, some works of the flesh, instead of actually operating in the Spirit. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, I looked at the watch. Are you following me? I'm just going all over the place because, you know, if I would go systematically through the whole thing, I would have to show you all the scriptures and the you know, reasoning behind that. And you really probably get much farther, but I will take 2-3 days. All right. But the idea is simple. The way we connect with God, if with our heart, is in spirit and in truth. And the natural man wants to do it the other way. Okay, to the rules and the thing, you know. And so they come up with such, you know, crazy idea. Like, you know, see the way, you know, Jesus became God. And that kind of stuff, because, you know, the mentality is that they cannot understand the spiritual dimension that actually was happening, what was actually happening there in reality. Okay, I think I should quit, huh? Yeah. So we are at Christmas today, and we just are going to enjoy it, and we are going to focus on the right thing, which is actually what Jesus did for us by coming which day he wanted to come. I don't care. You see, Paul said it very clearly that he didn't know anybody according to the flesh, including Jesus. Actually, you know, he just met him spiritually, because that's what happened to him. Spent time, and he was with him just as much as everybody else, because he had great revelation about the truth. So, you know, that shows that we can do it too, because if we are connected with God, if we are born of the Spirit, then it's been given to us the ability to connect with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, not only dwells in us, but he wants to communicate with us. And he's there all the time. He's not just there when, you know, because we are special. No, you know, Jesus said it very clearly, that even the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than the great prophets of the Old Testament, including, you know, John the Baptist. Say, well, John the Baptist didn't do many miracles. No, but he was talking about the Messiah that was coming, and that was the greatest revelation you can get. All right? So, you know, you can see the scripture there put together, and shows very clearly that what he got, and when he, you know, he got the idea, you know, he just was there where he had to be. Okay? So, bottom line, okay, let's learn to not walk according to the physical things, but according to the spiritual truth. It is the truth that is always spiritual. There is not, and I want to emphasize that, there is not scientific truth. There cannot be truth in science. Are always theories. And they are always going to be changed by something new 10 years after. Sometime much sooner. Why? Because the physical changes all the time. What is not changing is the spiritual. The things that cannot be seen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporary. Okay? So the only way to know the truth is not to look at the things that we see, but we have to look at the things that which we do not see. And that's really the way our relationship with God works. So let's look at what Jesus has done. Because we know, because he's explained to us, because the Bible tells us very clearly, and it's not symbolically or whatever, you know, it's very spelled out, you know, and explained very clearly, and explain how our relationship is to be with God, and explain how, you know, the great cloud of witness that we can see, okay, our example, they actually do the same thing, and that was a very exceptional thing. But we, you know, just the following verses, so that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that for the, you know, the glory set before him. Okay. He faced the cross and was changed, achieved what no other man ever achieved before. And so we can, this is the thing we had to approach, spiritual things. This is the way we had to approach Christianity. This is the way we had to approach, you know, God. Being thankful, being grateful, receiving from him, connecting with him in the spirit. And see, the only way that you can understand anything spiritually is not by Bible study. It's by going to the Bible, reading the Bible, and allow the Holy Spirit to show what it means. Because your Bible study can develop just as many theory, as many doctrines are around the world, as many denominations are, and everybody complain and accuse the other of not being in the truth. That's all. So the only way that you can access the truth is the Holy Spirit, which Jesus sent to us, so that we can be guided into what? All truth. So we had to remember that. We had to remember not to fall into for these tricks that the enemy does to keep us bound in religion. And with that, I'm going to close. And we're going to just thank God. Thank God for his wonderful plan that we have for us. For his unbelievable, wonderful way for us to be able to connect with him according to his plan, to be open, so that actually we had to do nothing but to trust in what he has done and to receive from him all the power and the abilities to actually do the right thing instead of doing it by effort. That we naturally can walk in the Spirit, that we naturally can experience the presence of God, that we naturally can receive his touch, healing touch, and his, expanding our understanding and our vision of what is our part, our role that we are down here, our call. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Father, and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that we realize how much you loved us by sending your own Son to take our place, that we may be transformed, Lord. He had no sin, Lord, to become sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, that our righteousness may not be determined by the thing that we think we should do, but we may be determined to that righteousness by believing in what your Son did, accepting it, even if, or from a worldly point of view, doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't and couldn't make any sense because it's not a worldly thing, it's a spiritual thing. And we receive it, we believe it, and we experience your power, your anointing, and your goodness even today, because there is no time in the Spirit. 2,000 years ago and today is today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.